friends in Christ and family of Bethlehem. As the last few weeks we've been gathering around together, we've been looking at our condition as Christians in our world. But as you can see, and as you can maybe even read in your bulletin as we gather, our world is very different, maybe than it was not just 1 or 2 years ago, but even just in the last few weeks. Lots of things come up in the news. Some things scare us, some things frustrate us, some things even discourage us. And as you can tell, these are things that must be given attention to us as Christians, even if we've been barraged with them and are sick of talking about them. We do because we are first Christians living in this world. And we've seen a lot of stuff together, whether it was mask mandates, whether it was vaccine mandates, whether it was racism, real or perceived, in the news, whether it was rioting, whether it was politicians going after another, whether it was cancel culture, where celebrities and influential people were being canceled from their normal way of speaking, or maybe it was the Me Too movement with lots of sexual impropriety. All these things are pretty messy, pretty dangerous, and they do one thing. I would say if they don't do many things, one thing that is the worst sin of them all, it separates us. It separates us from the body of Christ, the body of other believers. It separates us from other people just like you and me. And as we've seen and as we heard the last few weeks ago, we call this phenomenon, really that's underlying all these really hot topics, kind of a cultural Marxism. It comes from an economic principle. But what it does is it pits people against each other in the name of equality. Now, I don't know about you, but when we pit different people against each other, whether they're the good people or the more self-righteous people or the ones that are in the right, we end up doing this. We separate and we end up unloving each other, even though we might think we're equal. So today, we've talked about our need to confess our faith, the need to have courage and stand up, that being a Christian is actually a pretty brave thing to do today. And last week, we talked about courage to have faith. And the faith that we have is in our Lord Jesus Christ, and that he has come to abolish separation and bring us, his people, back to him. And finally today, we have a final word. And as you can see, that final word, of course, is love. Not the mushy kind of love, the romantic love that hopefully we might have recognized on February 14th last week. It's a love that serves, it's a love that strives for compassion. The interests of another person, the giving another person the benefit of the doubt. And so that's exactly what we've heard today in our worship. We are bound by God's word. So let's go back and hear once again what was all given in today's word from our Lord. We first heard this. Our Old Testament lesson was all about, from Genesis, Joseph. We know Joseph and his 12 brothers, the tribes of Israel, and how he was sold into slavery out of jealousy because, yes, his father gave him that coat of many colors. He was a favorite. He was the one that, the love of his life, he finally was able to have a child. And even though he was given and left for dead by his brothers, he rose the ranks and became second in command to the Pharaoh in Egypt. And when famine struck, guess what happened? His brothers came running for help. Now, if you were burned like that so hard, even by people that you loved and trusted, such as your own families, and they came begging, asking for your help, how dare they? Our normal reaction in the world would be, bye, guys, I'm off, and look what I've done for myself. That's not what we hear. Joseph said to his brothers and his father, come, and I will feed you. Come, and I will build you back up, and we will once again come and inherit the land our ancestors have given to us. We've heard as well that same lesson that we heard as a continuation from last week, Paul preaching to these new Christians in Corinth, how Jesus gives us the promise of resurrection, even to those who are even called dead to ourselves. And finally, today we heard this lesson from Jesus in Luke chapter 6 about loving even our enemies, even the people that would slap us in the cheek, we would want to turn the other side also. Have at it, guys. So what do we do with all those things? When we hear these words of our Lord, it's not on purpose, but it's actually ironic that they all say the same thing. And when I think of these, it comes up with four words. The first word that I hear loud and clear from our Lord in his word today through these various lessons is forgiveness. How we are Christians in a woke world when we're supposed to be awakened to the social problems, the injustices of the world. We forget about all that and we focus on this word first and foremost, forgiveness. Some of us, I can bet, have a person in your life that is in need of forgiveness. Maybe it's you. But our lesson today is that when we don't withhold forgiveness, but let it flow out of us, even if we don't actively want to give forgiveness, when we let God work through us, it produces that one healing balm that the world can't give, a perfect love that is interested in another person. We heard that even from Paul preaching about this promise of the future resurrection, that even our bodies are destined to eternity. Even the people that we've loved and lost will be reunited with us and all other fellow believers. And you know why? It's because of this word, forgiveness, that even though in Adam all die, all in Christ will be made alive. And it's loud and clear, if you haven't heard it yet, when we hear about those who curse us, those who abuse us, our enemies. When we don't let the hatred that we'd want to give back in return, the equal and opposite opposing force that naturally comes from us as people living in this world, that inertia to repay evil with evil like we see all the time, when we stop and don't go to that natural instinct, but instead offer forgiveness, lending up our other cheek, do you know what that does? It makes evil stop. Think of it in your own life. Let's say somebody said something really nasty. Somebody did something really hurtful to you, and instead of giving them back what they're expecting, an equal and opposite evil or harsh word or action, and we kill them with kindness, they say, watch how people react. They're like, what? Why would you do that? And they walk on their merry way. I love it. Why can't we do that more often? It's simple. Preaching love in church is something we hear all the time. Why do we have to keep doing it? It's not something that comes natural to any of us. We live in a dangerous and sinful world because, guess what? Inside of this heart, inside of your heart, inside of the heart of every man, woman, and child, is the opposite of love. We are born to be enemies. We are born as sinful people. And so, the only way that we can act out God's love is to let him love through us. So again, this word comes loud and clear. That's how we live as Christians in a woke world, offering forgiveness as often and as possible as we can. Second word, relentless. That's a bigger word. Now, what do I mean by that? Relentless. When you cease to relent, it means you never give up. Never give up. When I hear that word through these words of Scripture today, yes, Joseph's brothers never gave up on needing help, but Joseph never gave up either for his own family. Even when there's brokenness in your families, our families, brokenness in our world, we always will be better off by never giving up on a future possibility, a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance. Because if we give maybe that one extra chance when something is seemingly hopeless and we watch it, it might just grow into something beautiful. What we have from that second chance, that third chance from Joseph, was just that. The people of God led out of slavery in Egypt down the road from Moses, and now to you and me here today. We hear of God's relentless love of not giving up on us, even though we were enemies to him. Think about that. Scripture tells us that God loved us even when we were unlovable, when we were enemies to him in sin. What did you and I do to deserve God's love that Jesus would come to die for you? What did we do to deserve that? Nothing. And so that relentless love speaks to us today. Love your enemies, as Jesus says, and do good and lend and return, not expecting anything else in return. And if you do that, your reward will be great because even your Father is merciful. When we act out a relentless love, not giving up on people, not giving up on hope, not giving up on the possibility that there is still good in another person, guess what? The world is rid of these social evils, and Christian love is made perfect. So don't give up on a person maybe that you're wanting to give up on today. And if you're struggling with all this, if you're struggling with the world, don't give up on it either. There is still good left. There is still a nugget of hope even for somebody that we think is hopeless. Third word today that comes loud and clear for me when I read these scripture lessons is reckless. Now, what I mean by that? Well, I have to go back to my dictionary lesson today, and Merriam-Webster, in his dictionary, he says this: recklessness is, quote, marked by a lack of proper caution or carelessness of consequences. Wow. Now, that seems a little bit questionable. Why would we want reckless to be an adjective today? How to be Christians and act out of love. Well, I see this itself. Joseph is being pretty reckless here. He could have given up all of his own standing within Egypt with the Pharaoh by letting his family and cronies come in and do something, have something when they didn't deserve it. He could have lost it all out of his loving kindness. It's pretty reckless behavior. Going out of the norm, out of what is expected. When we hear this from Christ himself, it's a reckless love to love our enemies. Who does that? It doesn't come natural. It doesn't make sense. Somebody hurts you, we turn the other cheek because we can't be hurt enough. Now, I'm not saying this about physical abuse. If there is something going on in your life, say something. Get help. But in your heart, turn that cheek to know that there isn't something so great that you can't be taken care of. So, recklessness. Now, that's an adjective I want to talk about a little bit more. Reckless love is something that our world doesn't really know, but it's something that we all desperately need. Reckless love. We might think of a reckless driver or reckless behavior. When I was in high school sports, I was playing with reckless abandonment. I didn't think I could ever get hurt, so I thought I was immortal, and guess what? I got a lot of injuries. Recklessness tells us about God, in a sense, even though he doesn't act out of carelessness, of course, but that he knows what the consequences are and does it anyway. He loves anyway, out of his goodness. That's what we see coming out of the heart of Joseph, out of the heart of Paul, out of the heart of Christ, when we're told to love even those that are unlovable in our world. A reckless love. Now, for us today. It's been about 9 months or so since I was married. And it's been almost 2 years to the day in this month of February that I was blessed to be here as your pastor. So out of those two things, I'm really loud and clear telling me about how reckless love it is to be here. And I want to celebrate that it could have been very different for me. But today, I remember back when in 2019 BC, before COVID, things were a little bit different. And I saw a picture of this pretty girl and that seemed to be have some pretty similar interests. We both liked sports, and asked if I liked basketball or if I liked the Milwaukee Bucks. So I was like, well, I'm a sports guy. I'm a Wisconsin guy, but I can't claim I'm a Bucks fan because they really weren't good for a long time. I'm more like a Fairweather fan. But guess what? The Bucks are playing a playoff game at Buffalo Wild Wings. We should go there and we'll have a date. And it worked out. And over time, we played a little cat and mouse, and we never gave up on each other. When we could share the times where people were both unkind to us, we could commiserate. Even when the world was telling us maybe there were things that we should look for another person, do window shopping and dating. Obviously, we're here today as a married couple here for Bethlehem, me and Megan, because of God's love flowing through us and how we never gave up on each other and the possibility of how we could really be a good couple. We're still working on that and 9 months in. We haven't perfected it yet, and it might take some time, but we're going to walk alongside you to hopefully show you how reckless a good love could be. But when I think about that word, again, that's how we are treated and how we are called to treat other people. To love without expectation of anything else in return, because that's the right thing to do. And finally, I think of this word. How to be Christians in a woke world is compassion. Compassion. What does compassion mean? Well, if you break it down, the word passion actually means to be willing to suffer alongside of somebody else, to have empathy, to care, to try to step into another person's shoes and in another person's world and listen. How much have we seen of we done that this last year? A lot of us have been fighting, trying to say who's been in the right, who's been in the wrong. And that's going to continue to happen. And the only way it stops is when we fall back and lean into the compassion that God has placed on our heart. And I urge you today, whether it's in school, whether it's another fellow student and a teacher, or maybe it's in your job when you go to work tomorrow, when you go back into your own families and your homes, how can you give the benefit of the doubt to another person? How can you get into their shoes and wonder, why is it that they're acting this way? Why is it that they said that then? And when we stop and think about that, we start to understand that we're all hurting. We all are silently going through our own struggles. And when we see that that person is just like you and me, we want to walk with them too. Now, when we put all these words together, as Christians today, and we live out this promise, even though we're broken, even though the world will continue to get more and more evil, more and more separated, when we put them all together, we get to the final word, love. Love your enemies. Love one another. Treat one another as you would wish to be treated. And you know how and you know why that's possible? It's, of course, Jesus. We didn't do anything to deserve his love. In fact, we were the opposite of that. We were called enemies of God himself. And so God modeled that behavior. Love your enemies. That's what Jesus did for us. He came not because we loved him, but he loved us first. So I encourage you all to continue acting out as courageous Christians that are willing to confess, to stand up for this faith today, this week, this year, to act out of faith, to have courage, and most of all, let the word of love and God's word of love work through you, and sometimes maybe even work in spite of you. And when we do that, this world might be a little different. We might hold off on a little more evil until Jesus comes back. But you know what? That final word, love, will be the final word when Jesus comes back. And when is he coming back? Soon. Amen.